Are you a fair-weathered fan? Are you a faithful follower? How many of you have been fair-weathered fans this week in the ACC tournament? Or how many of you are die-hard fans? If your team is your team, hopefully whether they win or lose, but you hear people say, "My goodness, did you see how sorry they played? I wish they could play the whole game. If they could play the whole game like they started, boy, we'd do something." And it's not just one team, it's a lot of them. It's just all people. Of course, we know that Carolina and State are no longer with us as far as that goes. They got chances to work on next year. Of course, Duke is still hanging in there. And I did that for Rob. Still in there. Whatever. But some people are fickle. They're like, "I'm not going to believe in them no more. I'm not going to do this." But your team is your team. It's who you like. It's what it's all about. But today, are we a fair-weathered fan? In the sidelines, in the crowd, like these folks welcoming Jesus, are we a faithful follower? You see, at first glance today, the characters in our gospel story look like a huge mob of fans. Men and women and children alike are singing and chanting. They're waving palm branches. They're throwing their coats, which their cloaks or that outer garment. They're throwing it on the road to welcome a what? A young man riding a what? A donkey. Wait, what's going on here? Who is this man? And what exactly is this crowd chanting? Hosanna? Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven? What in the world? All these questions, what do they mean? Is there more going on here than the usual celebrity chasing or sporting event that we see? You see, the people in this crowd knew that there was more happening. They realized that this was an epiphany procession. All the elements were evident that morning. An honored king riding an animal. A donkey was an appropriate mount that day for a Mideastern king. Loyal followers smoothing the road by covering it with branches and even their coats. People chanting praises and cheering. You see, yes, the crowds recognized Jesus as king. But that was about all they got right that day. That was about all they got right. The rest of it, they kind of messed up. They were looking for a king who would physically overthrow the Romans and establish an earthly political reign. You see, but Jesus had no such intentions this day. For Jesus, that donkey signified kingship, but it also signified humility. It is the beast of burden. It was then and it is today. His ride was a living sermon illustration. It was something that you just pick out. But the people missed that point that day, as so many times we miss the point. Jesus was symbolically speaking out against not only Roman rule, but also against the privileged attitude of the high priest of that time. You see, it was Jesus' hope that Israel would be a servant people. Oh, it was His hope that Israel would be a servant people, free from Roman rule and Hebrew imperialism. You see, it was His goal that they live out the kingdom in their midst. That was nothing new. He wanted them to be a chosen people, but He also said, not only that, you're going to be a servant people. You're going to serve what God has put here. He'd been teaching about what that meant for 3 years, but the crowds still missed the point. You see, thousands of people were pouring into Jerusalem that week. Many were making that once-in-a-lifetime pilgrimage to celebrate Passover in the temple. The journey itself was important. Travelers used this time to anticipate and prepare for the celebration to come. You see, it's just like much as Lent is a journey that prepares us for the celebration of Easter. Advent is a time that prepares us for the celebration of Christmas. This was a time of celebration. It was a time of preparation. It was a time of great rejoicing, of remembering when God had liberated the Hebrew people from the oppression of Pharaoh. You see, that's what the Passover was about. People had come for this time of celebration. And in that day, Jerusalem was the place where the people came to be in the presence of God. So the expectations were very high. They had come to a place to be in the presence of God, a place that they felt was a little bit holier. The second thing today is Jesus had no such expectations for this week. Jesus didn't have those high expectations. He knew where this procession was going to end. He knew exactly where it would end. For some time now, he had been trying to tell his followers that this week would be like no other. You've got to pay attention. It's not going to be like any you've ever seen, like any you've ever experienced. But even the disciples didn't get it. As the week wore on and on, still they couldn't grasp quite what was happening. The scribes and the Pharisees kept trying to trap Jesus and arrest him. Jesus spoke more and more frequently about his own suffering and death. By Thursday, when the disciples gathered to celebrate the Passover together, the tensions were high. And after supper that night, after he had reminded them of who he was, what he was all about, that the bread that they were breaking was his body, and the juice, the drink that they were drinking, the wine, was going to be his blood. You've got to remember, he said, in the midst of all that celebrating the Passover, Judas slipped out into the night to betray his Lord, our Lord. You see, later the soldiers came to the garden, they arrested him, and the crowds were no longer standing there waving and singing. They fled. They took off. As Jesus continued his journey to the cross, he journeyed alone. One by one, the disciples fell away until just one disciple and a very few faithful women remained at the cross. One disciple and the faithful women who had followed, who were disciples, they remained at the cross. And after the crucifixion, they all ran and hid away in the upper room, confused and afraid. How quickly things had changed in just a few short days. The cheering crowds and the new ruler entering the holy city on a donkey seemed but just a distant memory, and it had been just a few days before. The third thing today is, as we look at this scene from the safety of our own seats today, no matter where they are, it is easy to picture ourselves as part of that crowd that is cheering our king on. We'd like to think that we're there, that we're cheering, that we would stay, that we would support him, that we would stand up and say, yeah, I know him. That's where we like to be. We have entered our sanctuaries this day as our children waving palm branches and singing our songs of praise to the Lord. And this is a good thing. It's a great thing. Luke tells us that it is our duty to give praise to God. If we don't, he says, the very rocks will cry out. The very rocks will cry out. And you know the rocks did cry out. You think of the rocks that held our Lord, the rocks that rolled away. The rocks will cry out. But perhaps we are too much like that crowd in other ways. If we are honest, some of us have our own agendas in mind for Jesus. For many of us, American imperialism is alive and well. We're just like those Hebrew people that thought they were a little bit better. We display our national flag in the sanctuary and we sing, God Bless America. And we too often assume that God is automatically on our side when we become involved in an armed conflict. We assume that we know what is best for others. In the name of God, we force it upon them. Others of us assume that just because we follow Jesus, we will be blessed economically. We expect that Jesus will overthrow the powers that be on our behalf. We expect a great deal out of our Lord. But you see, we must be careful, because this day that we are not like the crowds asking God to meet our own political and economical agendas. That's exactly what the crowd then wanted, and that's a lot like what we want today. We want things our way. But you see, some of us find that we are like the disciples. Despite Jesus' continued teaching about the cost of discipleship and the price of following, we still don't get it. We still don't understand what He is asking of us. We still don't understand the great sacrifice. We can't get past our own preconceived ideas to grasp what following really means. Perhaps it is time for us to really listen to the core of the gospel message, to look at it, to read it, to apply it, to know it. Wherever we find ourselves, it is clear that we are called to be more than cheer spectators. We are called to be more than cheerleaders on the sideline. We are called more than spectators in this parade of life. We are to humble ourselves and be willing to serve sacrificially as Christ did. You know, we've got to lose our life for His sake. We've got to give up our very life if we're able to live life fully. You see, the choice is ours this morning. Will we limit our involvement and commitment to praise and acclamation? Do we have our own agendas that we expect Christ to fulfill for us? Or do we understand what it really means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? Do we truly know what that means? Do we know what it looks like? Do we know what it acts like? Are we a fair-weathered fan this morning who lose interest and fade away at the first sign of trouble? People get mad, well, I'm not going to do that anymore because they're not doing it the way I want to do it. I'm going to leave. Are we that one that says, I'm not going to pull for them anymore because they're just not doing what we want them to do? They're just not winning. Do we pull away? Do we say, well, you know, this following God thing, these people are too churchy. They're too religious. They get on my nerves. They're doing too much. They're not doing what they need to be doing. Are we fair-weathered fans who lose interest and fade away at the first sign of trouble? Are we? Or are we faithful followers? Are we faithful followers? The question is asked this morning, what are you? What am I? What are we as the church about? Let us remember that this week as we walk to the cross with our Lord. Let us pray. Lord, we thank You this day for Your Word, and we thank You, Lord, for allowing Your gospel to speak to us, to speak through us, to allow us, Lord, Your grace and Your mercy each and every moment. Lord, let us look this week at all that is around us, all that is within us, all that You call us out to be each and every day. Remind us every day, Lord, what it is You want us to do and be. Open our hearts, break them and allow them to be spilled out for You. Open our hearts so that we can serve You, so that You can fill us full of Your grace and Your glory. Not the selfishness of the world, but of serving, of living and doing and being, of giving back, of sharing that message of salvation, of sharing that example of faith, of sharing that walk as a disciple. Lord, are we going to be one of the faithful followers like the women and the one disciple that stayed? Or are we going to be like the rest of them? Are we going to flee because we don't understand, we don't know, we're afraid? What are we going to do? Lord, remind us, not only this day, but every day, what it is You have called us to do and be. Be with us now, for it is in Your name I pray. Amen.